the next verse is massive. We've talked about how every time you have a plan, you go into debt. Every time you make a judgment, you go into debt. Every time you, as Harry just said, give an offering to some other person, trying to gain their approval, you go into debt. It says, "Lead us not, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation." Well, if you search the scriptures, you find out that the only temptation, and that particular word, is to the temptation to go inward. And it's the temptation, and you know that because of the next verse, "But to the contrary, deliver us from evil," where what it says is deliver us from the evil one. So God is saying to us, by any and all means, avoid apostasy, which means to go inward. "And to the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. Remember, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth continually in you, and you've overcome the evil one." That's the young man position in 1 John. But I cannot avoid going inward as long as my relationship with people is lateral. It's impossible. And that's why the world can know absolutely nothing about the Lord's Prayer, because all of the world's relationships are lateral. None of the believer's relationships are lateral, even the most intimate, even husband and wife, even kid and mother and child. The relationship always has to be between that person and God. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. Who is ever in fellowship with God is automatically in fellowship with every other person that is in fellowship with God. And fellowship is a word that's 10,000 times stronger than love, romance, brother, sister. It's a word, again, that can't be known by the world. It's a word that's closer than yourself. It's closer than blood. It's closer than anything. And that's what fellowship means. It means really to be of the same thing. If you look back on your life, you will see a series of unmitigated disasters with regard to your relationships with people. Does anybody doubt that? Anybody doubt that? Gary doubts that. Gary's had successful relationships with everybody. The reason that the world cannot have relationships except by the vehicle of acting, you got to understand that. That's the only basis of a relationship. Or some common idolatry, but that only lasts for a little while. That's why most marriages are in deep, deep doo-doo at the maximum 7 years. Because that's the time it takes to eat the common idolatry. And once there's nothing left of the common idolatry, then boom. It goes right down the tubes. And so it has to be reborn on a different basis, or it'll be nothing. It'll continue only because you're acting. Now, some of you know a lot about this marriage failure stuff. But my point to you is this. All of your relationships in the world, from the time you were a toddler to the time of your parents to the time of romance to the time of friends, are all based on person to person. And therefore, if you understand this, you can see that all of your relationships are based on two things. One is ranking, and the other is offerings. If you don't make the right offering to the person that is suitably ranked in your mind, then the relationship is seriously damaged. That's why you go to a marriage counselor. I hate them. I hate them. I hate marriage counselors, especially ones that study Christian marriage counselors. I'm going to teach you Christian principles of marriage counseling. Because what they do is they teach you how to make offerings to each other. And it takes all of the life out of a marriage. It takes all the life out of anything if you act. It's just a dead, stupid little bunch of punks of protoplasm running around trying to act like what they're not. Oh, I'm going to be a wife. I don't know what that means, but I'm a wife. Oh, I'm a red cow. It's the same thing.
Death to Jim Cleaver.
There's nothing. Well, there's no stupidity to anyone that believed that horse shit. That goes another tape.
Is there another new regime or something?
Oh, I'm getting busted because everybody says, oh, I would like to send this tape at the start someplace. And then by the end of the tape, invariably, I've messed it up so they can't send it. I've said something to offend.
Oh, right. Like the rest of it isn't.
No, but their definition of offensive is if I say a bad word.
Oh, I see.
Well, Harry would just do his job.
That's right. If Harry would just do his job and beep out all the bad words, then...
We wouldn't have any tapes.
Let's look at something. Let's look at several things, in fact. There's a whole lot of this lead us not into temptation. We could spend a week on this. All right, let's go to Luke 12, something or other. I think. It's the wrong chapter. But that's why you turned right to it. Luke 14, verse 25. This is your favorite verses here. And there went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Why?
Lateral relationship.
Because there is a relationship with somebody other than God. And God is more jealous than you can dream of. Now, because if you, in your sincerity, say, oh, my job is to be a good wife, or my job is to be a good mother, or my job is to be a good whatever, what happens is that you have placed that person, that image before God, and you shall have no other gods before you. And it's the height of lunacy to say to God by that act that I don't trust you, God, to raise my child, or I don't trust you to make this a good marriage, or I don't trust you to... Can you understand it? God is far more interested in these things than you are, and your stuff hasn't worked anyway. And your generations, your whole genetic history hasn't worked. If it had worked, you'd be the like reigning kings or something, and you'd be good looking and smart, and rich and nice.
Not here.
Wouldn't be here. But my point is, neither genetically nor experientially has it worked. But you continue to worship those idols, that idolatry. Because it comes, it's passed on. This is what I need. This is how I need to act. This is how I need to raise the kids. This is how I need to be a husband. But you don't really have any good role models. But you think you do. I don't know about your family when you were a child, but mine was a disaster. I mean, they acted like they were okay, but it was stupid.
Mine was real good.
Oh yeah, yours is good.
It still is. Something just dawned on me that what I know about words and language and sentences and things are what people. When I read like God here says, if any man, blah blah blah, and I think. In my mind, I think it's a man saying that. and using those words. It's like, can I explain this? When a man says something, it sort of means that. It's sort of conditional, and it's optional, and blah, blah, blah. It's not absolute. It's not cosmic. It's not in all cases, in all conditions, at all times. When God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he means, seek ye first the kingdom of God, period. But I don't hear it that way.
Yeah. That's why you get in so much trouble.
I know, because I think it's like some guy said it.
Let's go to 1 John 2. 1 John 1. I want you to understand and read, when we read the first and second verse, he's not just talking historically. He's talking experientially. Now listen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us, unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The only way you can have fellowship is to see the same thing. The only way you can have communion is to speak the same thing. Not the same thing of the world. I mean, that's sort of a vain shadow. That's why. But the only way you can, this is talking about what it takes and the cost and the experience of what it takes to be in fellowship, first with God and then with people. And you have to see that anything else is sin. You have to see that any attempt for you to please another person is sin. You have to see that any attempt for you to cause another person to try to please you is sin. Because it pulls them out of the relationship of fellowship. Now, this is true if you want to be part of the kingdom of God. Here's what you do. If I attempt to cause you to respond to me in some way, then what I am doing is I am causing you to go inward. If I demand respect, if I demand that I be treated a certain way, have any of you ever seen me do that? Except there's this chair? And the reason for this chair is because of I can't sit. No, I mean, I'm serious. Have I ever demanded that any of you treat me in a certain way? Have I ever in any way demanded that the kids treat me with respect? I mean, can you think of anything more sickening? Can you imagine if you as parents taught these kids to say you have to treat Oli with respect because he is the leader? Can you imagine what they do to you? What I'm trying to get to is this, that if I did that in the slightest way, then I would be causing you I would be leading you into temptation, into yourself, because you would always be walking around trying to figure out how to please me. That's why I get so infuriated when someone does that anyway. Comes and makes little offerings. It's It is a direct attack on the majesty of God for some idiot to make an offering to a man. It's the most odious thing that you can do from the standpoint of the nostrils of God. And it is... They constrain you to be circumcised, to you to be different, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They want you to change in order that they won't experience the cross. You understand that? I'm talking specifically now about relationships with people. Husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends. Think of how incredibly evil it is to ask your significant other to change. Think what it does spiritually to that person. It causes him directly to go inward, to commit apostasy, to go to the evil one for advice. And it is so evil. It is so odious to God that it makes everything that he's ever done from the original covenant on to the death of his son meaningless when you expect another person to be different than they are. Because you lead them into temptation. You lead them into apostasy. You put them into an impossible position, and there's no hope. Because they know they can't change. Now, none of you would ever do that, would you? Does everybody understand this? Do you understand that is a direct attack on the majesty of God for you to try to change another person? Now this is meddling. This isn't preaching. This is meddling.
You're not talking about those cupping someone see through their bullshit.
So I'm talking about in any way trying to change them, except to bring them to the point of seeing that all things are vain. The only thing that this Bible, you know what the only thing this Bible proves? The only thing this Bible proves is the fallen. The only thing you can prove empirically with this Bible is the fallenness of mankind. That's what it's designed to do. So if you're speaking something other than that, i.e. causing somebody to improve, then you're in direct violation of the whole Bible. And by definition, you cannot ever be in true relationship with that person, in oneness with that person, because you're trying to get them to walk in a different light, not the light of God.
To improve means it's based on some kind of either subjective, your personal subjective, it's based on some normal model out here somewhere?
No. All attempts to ask somebody to improve are simply your attempt to cause them to worship your idol. All right. Your only job, my only job, is to keep pushing the button. You can only push them to see that the vanity of attempting to improve or to change. Just all, that's all.
And not buy their bullshit.
I never buy their bullshit. I buy everybody's bullshit.
This is bullshit. You know, you're talking about the body is a picture of our relationship with God, and it's as close as we know of Him here.
Right.
And this is a
Yeah, and we reject him because he doesn't meet our image. We betray him because we want Christ's work to change, to meet our image of what it should be. You know what most churches are? It's a group of people that share the same idols. And then, that's sad. So we are preeminently fortunate here because we don't have anybody that shares the same idols.
You all have different idols.
And so they clash all the time.
Now I care that all of the shades are the same.
Well, Harry does too, and it drives him crazy to look at that. Okay. Can we see what it means? Well, let's go back. How come I got my Bible closed? I'm supposed to be preaching or something. 1 John. But you understand, I can't speak about anything to you that has any meaning, that has any capacity to share life, unless it has to cause death in me. And secondly, I can't speak about something that I haven't experienced. That's just pure hypocrisy. It's obvious I didn't do it right, but I did it enough to know I did enough to see him in it. That's the only thing I can say. And so, back to 1 John. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Who's the us? This is John writing to somebody. Huh?
Saints, believers.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's the us here. He's in this incredible position of it's saying the us is he and God. You understand that? Can you understand that? If you look at the word structure, it couldn't mean anything else.
That's what he's saying.
That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be fulfilled. Full is the wrong translation. Fulfilled is the right one. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now what that means, what you've got to understand is it's talking about light and joy are the same thing. Light and joy is the same thing. Light, joy, and truth are the same things. We are different because we believe there is a truth. You understand how rare that is? Everybody believes, I believe there is my truth. Well, guess what? I don't care what your truth is. Nobody in the universe cares except you what your truth is. God doesn't give a holy rat's patootie. What's that word?
Patootie.
God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
That's it. Sorry. God is light. The only way you can have light is if it's going away from him. He's giving it up freely. It's always going in the darkness. Forces is reverse of that. It soaks up the light.
The same as darkness is the same as cancer. Darkness and cancer in the parable are the same thing. They are, and darkness, cancer, and black holes. Black hole is the ultimate darkness. You know, that's why I've said around here a bunch that, you know, somebody's a spiritual black hole. You hate to hear that. That's why temptation, leading us not into temptation, darkness, black holes, cancer, are all the same. Because they're all pictures of the process of leading you inward. And when you're going inward, you suck all the life out and all the light out. Trying to obtain something when you already have everything. You understand why it's give and it shall be given unto you. It's nothing about getting $50 or whatever it is, or 50. It's give and get the world. It's always outward. It's never inward. Well, what about me? I've got my rights. I've been working hard. And the moment you do that, the black hole has begun. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And that would, and again, this word fellowship, it can't be, we're not going to go, fellowship isn't, fellowship, I'll tell you what fellowship isn't. Fellowship isn't having a meeting called fellowship.
Fellowship hall.
Yeah. Fellowship is being the same flesh, being bone of my bone, blood of my blood. Now, fellowship doesn't mean, oh, okay, now I'm perfect. I haven't been angry in 43 months. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then if we say we have no sin, this is where you get, I love to debate Pharisees, because you just wrap them into little knots with this series right here. What?
He loves that.
Wrap them into knots.
I love to wrap Pharisees up. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You know how many in the charismatic movement say they don't sin? This organization that we're investigating, that Pete's been a part of, say they don't sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, tested, brought to the test for the purposes of approving. That's what perfected means. And hereby know we that we are in him. Again, the basis of what we're studying tonight is lead us not into temptation. I promise you, you can't get to that point. You cannot even say those words when you're encumbered by debt. You can't say those words when you haven't forgiven yourself. If you haven't forgiven yourself, you will live in yourself. You've never been out of yourself, so you don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. If you're in debt.
I'm swearing.
Yeah, from swearing. If you're in debt. Can you understand now how if you have plans, if you've taken thought for tomorrow, that you cannot possibly, I mean, you'll have to be led into temptation because you have to figure out where you are in the path. Can you understand that? If you have if you haven't forgiven yourself, it's impossible. You will live within yourself. Therefore, I mean, this is like, to say lead us not in temptation is like asking a pig to fly. Because that's where, that's who you are, is apostasy. Because you haven't forgiven yourself. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Does anybody maybe, like, maybe want to get out of debt? Not just money, but the debt that we're talking about, the psychic debt that you owe around you and to yourself and to everybody. Does this give you, like maybe, because if you're in debt, you have to make offerings always. You have to keep the creditors happy. Tried to swim, it would drown. If a fish tried to swim, became self-conscious of it. Let me show you something. Do we have a board here?
Board?
Yeah. Any kind of board, like a 2x4 piece of wood. There's a great. I hope this works. If this works, you'll never forget what "lead us into temptation" means. Lead us not into temptation. I just thought of it. I mean, I've used it for other things, but I just thought of this as this meaning.
I need a volunteer.
Go ahead, Harry.
Yes. Oh, you play the fool for a change.
Oh, everybody, oh, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Just follow my steps. Walk across the board.
Okay.
Walk this way.
I can't walk in my ankle.
Yeah, you should.
Okay, now, I need that chair.
Boy.
We're talking fun.
Could you hear me? I can see this one. You do it. Okay, pop across the board. Whoa, I'm not dark on this. Easy, man. A lot of those questions. I feel like Penn and Teller.
Well, you're brave. Okay, get off.
Gotta hold the chairs. You better hold the chairs.
Walk across the board.
You sit on the chairs.
Sit on the chairs or fall in.
Sit on the chair.
That's too close to the end.
That's going
to
come up.
Yeah, the chair's going to come in.
Somebody's going
to
break
it. Why does all that have to happen?
What's your head?
She doesn't normally do that.
Because of gravity?
Now, why does you had absolutely no self-consciousness in walking across it on the floor.
So afraid you couldn't get hurt.
Well, that's my point. There you go. I'll put this across the Empire State Building and ask you to walk. The temptation would be so total you couldn't do it because you would be aware of yourself. Normally, if you're walking, you're not aware of yourself. That's why you can walk. The moment you become aware of yourself, you can do nothing. That's what abandonment means. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Press up, Bob.
My point to you is, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. It took me a long time to learn to walk, to crawl, to speak. But when I became an adult, I put away, I divorced the childish things. I have no self-consciousness of them. But if I, as an adult, again try to learn again better that which I've destroyed, then I become a transgressor. And so at any point in this, when I become aware of myself, I become a transgressor. When you're a brand new believer, I write unto you little children because your sin is forgiven. That's the only thing you can understand. But the moment at some point, and it better be quick, you better be taught not to have any awareness of yourself at all. Otherwise, from God's perspective, any time that self gets your attention, you're defeated. Does everybody understand this? Therefore, if I am out teaching you to be better in God's name, I can't tell you how mad God is. Have you ever been, anybody been to a place where they're teaching you to be better in God's name? Anybody ever heard a sermon on how to have your children be better, or how to have a better marriage, or how to be a better citizen, or how to be a better Christian, or Yeah. My point to you is, all of those items are the opposite of what God told us to do. They cause us to be aware of ourself. And so because of that self-awareness, we are led into apostasy.
Negotiations with him, these conversations with Bobby Lyle. Like, it's interesting because when the meeting started, I was pretty self-conscious about it. It was just like he could take advantage of me at every turn. And I finally realized what was happening. And once my self-consciousness was gone, all of a sudden it started going the other way. It was like things just came into being.
Yeah.
And I mean, that just happened that way.
I love to negotiate with people.
When you see that, there's no tricking.
Or I love to play, playing poker with somebody, or playing pool with them, or anything. All you have to do is get them to cause to go, playing horseshoes. Get them to go inward.
Yeah, that's what you did.
Lead them into themselves, and they're defeated. Everybody understand that? What? What does that mean? Why am I so evil? Am I more evil than you?
No.
What?
I just think that's smart.
What?
It means you're more evil than you're better.
I wish I could do that.
More evil is better.
I wish I could do that.
You ever been in negotiations with me?
Yeah. I always lose.
And then, so you go away thinking, why is Oli always right? Oli is never right. No, I just don't ever want to go inward. I just get sick to my stomach if I go inward. I have from the very moment I became a believer.
It's all like gooey stuff.
You know, I told you I'd go to these other churches trying to find. And I don't have anything against anybody. I'm just telling you what happened. And they said, they were trying to teach me how to get something from God. And every time I heard that, it made me literally queasy. And the depth of the amount of it that I heard, sometimes I would get so sick that I would throw up. It doesn't happen anymore. But, that was the God's mercy in the beginning when I was a brand new believer. As a child, I couldn't eat that kind of garbage. I knew with everything in me that I didn't ever again need to learn how to get. I needed to learn how, or I needed to know what giving was. And this is it's sneaky. Lead us not into temptation. Let nothing lead me into myself. Now, guess what? My role on certain occasions is to use every trick in the universe to lead you into yourself. And when I can no longer lead you into yourself, nobody in the universe can. Now that's my job. It's not pretty. It's not nice. And every time you get in, go inward, I'll bust you, even though I was the one that led you inward. I don't feel like talking anymore.
Okay.
We didn't even start on Lead Us Not Into Temptation.
Yeah, we got the keys out to go to the garage to start.
No, I didn't. We didn't get them out. I just hinted there might be keys. Take a big guy.